Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good evening, good day, good afternoon, good week, good month, whenever you're joining me, wherever you are, whatever time you've tuned in to this episode of the No BS Bishop, welcome. It is an honor for me to know that you'd give me 1/2 hour of your life and time. I promise you to give my best during this half an hour, my best to tell you that I am alive to love. I am the No BS Bishop. I believe lesser values than love easily slide into the BS of bait and switch. They slide into the BS of shame and blame. They slide into the BS of manipulation and management of others. Love seeks only self-control, not the control of others. Self-control is the higher calling of love. And then what others do becomes their business. And I love them through their business. I'm loving them in their business. I'm loving them through my own business, minding my own business. So there you go. Here's the opening salvo of today's episode of the No BS Bishop Alive to Love. I'm very nostalgic today, feeling some pathos and empathy and sense of sadness, gladness, all the mix. You know, it is the Advent season leading into Christmas while I'm recording this in late 2022. And Advent and Christmas always elicits in me the tenderest of emotions and also some of the most challenging. I have learned how to manage those as they come at me, rather than trying to deny I'm sad. I manage the sadness. Rather than to try to level off my gladness, I just let my gladness soar and rise. And when sadness and gladness meet, I introduce them to each other. So that's where I'm at today. With love, there is the ability to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with the equanimity, the equality of climbing to the summits of the highest emotions. Love carries us through valleys. Love holds us in the mountaintops. Love is not afraid of a valley because love will fear no evil. The opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is fear. Perfect love casts out fear is what scriptures teach us. And I'm committed to the notion that when fear knocks on my door, it is my own internal radar saying, hey, Randy, we need to put love there. We need to get some love activated on the inside. And so I know in this season of the beauty of Advent leading up to Christmas, that I will follow through in my pathos and pains, as well as my joys and my laughters, and I'll introduce them to each other in love. So today's subject is this: the triumphs, the tragedies, and the trajectory of love. The triumphs, the tragedies, and the trajectory of love. So let me dive into that with you for just a few moments. The triumphs of love. It starts with something just as simple as love's creed. That's where I lead you every week here on the No BS Bishop. I wrote love's creed several years ago to help steady me, to give me focus, to give me a target to aim at. And then I realized, you know, this should be shared with others, and I have, and I will continue to do so. So here's love's creed. I'll give it to you in total, and then we'll come back and I'll recite it for you as I would at a marriage altar performing a wedding ceremony, and give it to you as a vow-like form. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. Now, let me give it to you in short bursts so you can say it out loud. Why do we need to say creeds out loud? Because when we take thoughts and put them in our voice, then our own hearing catches it. Then that vibration of sound waves it's waving through us, and we get more connected to it. It's like writing makes us more precise. Saying it makes us more aware. So here it is in short bursts. I'll say a portion, and then you repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. And you could add at that, anything less than love. So today, to that end, Love's Creed is always a reminder to me that there will always be some temptation in our life to surrender to the tragedies, to give in to the tragedies without remembering the triumph. So let me start. I said earlier, my 3 points today is the triumphs, the tragedies, and the trajectory. Triumphs, tragedies, and trajectory. So on the start of this, let's remember our triumphs. We have all been on the receiving end of somebody's love that changed us. A parent, hopefully a mother, father, a grandparent, somebody who was older and wiser and showed you love. Maybe not a grandparent, maybe not even parents, but maybe there was an uncle or an aunt. You and I have received somebody's love somewhere, a teacher, a coach, some employer, some employees. Somebody somewhere showed you love. But if all of that fails, I'm here to remind you that God so loved the world, and that is every last one of us, every one of our aching hearts and broken lives was loved from the beginning of time. Jesus prayed in John 17, and he said, God, I want the love that you had for me. Listen to that carefully. In the community of the Trinity, the love the Father had for the Son, Jesus prayed, and he always gets his prayers answered. Jesus prayed and said, Father, let that love that you had for me in the beginning be in them and I in them, which is to say that God's love would reside in human beings. Astonishing, isn't it? So wherever you can find the triumph of love, find it. Ruminate on it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Give some time, and whatever day of the week, whatever week of the month, whatever month of the year, give yourself time to remember the triumphs of someone's love. I my mother and father were struggling pilgrims in this world when I was born and into and through my formative years. It wasn't until I arrived in high school that their life began to shape and form in a healthier place. So that tells you there were a lot of years of clumsy love. There were attempts, make no mistake about it. There were valiant attempts, but it was dysfunctional. It was struggling through the drug addiction of my brother, which was raging and horrible. And so my mother and father were lost in this dark forest, this dark time, this evil tunnel where it seemed like there were creatures on the walls everywhere. And so their fight for life prevented them from some of the most needed moments of love that a young guy like I had. So I ended up in summer times in Salem, Illinois. And I know now that many of those trips were where I was put on an Amtrak train and shipped down there for the summer. I know that now my parents were acting in love, trying to get me some breathing room away from the dysfunction of our family. And they put me up with an aunt and uncle, Aunt Lorraine and Uncle Charles. And oh, was I loved. I was so loved by those beautiful people, and especially Uncle Charles, who taught me how to fish. He taught me how to put a worm on a hook on the end of a bamboo pole with a bobber to put it out in the water and to fish for sunnies or bluegills or whatever would strike at that little worm on the hook. Uncle Charles was infinitely patient. Uncle Charles was beautifully funny. He knew how to tease me in a way that was gentle and truly funny. And he knew how to take my teasing in a way that a full-grown adult didn't take a little boy's teasing too personally. That's one of the triumphs of love that I recall and remember many, many times when I'm tempted to slump off into all my tragedies. Uncle Charles loved me. In junior high, I had a teacher by the name of Mr. Johnson who loved me, who cared, who simply knew that this boy is fighting for his life. He didn't know all the stories of home life, though he learned them later. He just simply knew this kid is fighting for his life. I could go on and name several others, but my point is this. We all have an Uncle Charles. We all have Mr. Johnson. We all have, in another case, a Miss Gillespie in my fourth grade elementary school. Whoever they are, remember them. Those are your triumphs. Those are the moments where love triumphed over pain. Love triumphed over darkness. Love was ascending over all of the valley of the shadow of death. Love didn't give in to just leaving you alone. There was somebody somewhere who loved you, and they loved you well. So I want to urge you to be aware of your triumphs, review your triumphs. And some of those triumphs may be hard to find, but it's worth the search. It's worth digging around in the fields of your memories and finding some of the triumphs. I did have triumphs with my mother and father later in life. And so I know that even if there's been serious tragedy, triumph can be found somewhere along the way. So love has triumphs, and it's up to us to go find them and search for them, and in particular, to meditate on those triumphs. But it's not to be ignored that love also has tragedies. The tragedies of love are those moments when it seems like everything just went to hell in a handbasket over love. That somebody who should have been as loving as the day is long was hardly loving at all. But I want you to hear something that was written by Henry Nouwen, a great Catholic author, who said these words. I live by them. As the wounds of Christ are for our healing, so also are our wounds for the healing of others. In our woundedness, we can become a source of life for others. You know, and here's what I say to that. When I'm wounded in the middle of love, there's a tragedy in love, now I'm no longer just an apathetic viewer. I'm not just in the stands watching the game of love. I'm involved. I'm involved. I'm on the field. I'm bleeding out there on the field. And now I can give my pain a purpose for the healing of others. Listen to that carefully. When we assign purpose to our pains, then tragedy is no longer just this parenthesis in our life. But know without a doubt, love will always be accompanied by some tragedy. Oh, how I wish I didn't have to say that. But it's so important for me to remind you, there are tragedies in love. And when we are tempted, as you've heard me say here before, when we're tempted to say, nope, I'll never love again, that is a vain commitment. We're hardwired for love. We're made by love, for love, through love, to land in love. Love is our destiny, no matter what other purposes come our way. You are always going to be in search of being loved and giving love, no matter what tragedies have come our way. So in your tragedy, it is important to grieve the loss of love. Yes, go ahead and walk through the stages of grief. Cry, be angry, be disappointed. You can go ahead and just feel that tragedy as long as you make some commitment not to live forever in that tragedy. Pull somebody into your life that you trust and say, help me keep moving. Love has put me in a moment of tragedy, and I want to feel it, I want to grieve it, but I don't want to live it forever. And give somebody the honest permission to say, help, I'm here to help you get out of that valley of the shadow of death, because it certainly is the possibility of the valley. But somebody once said, once when you're going through hell, at least just keep going. Don't stop and live in hell. If you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, go ahead. Keep going. Keep walking. Because on the other side of every valley, in some form or another, there's a pathway up. And you may have to take your very sweet time to find your way up. But you can get there. You can climb there. And it's important, from triumph to tragedy, to remember the pathways. What got you to triumph? What got you to tragedy? And to remember that tragedy is not forever. As long as, and the third point that I want to bring to you today is, as long as we point at the trajectory of love. So from tragedy, we are in a moment. It's a critical moment, isn't it? Where we say, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans and dreams and designs. Locked in anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. That's why I give you Love's Creed. Sorry to go blasting through it so fast. But the trajectory in our tragedy is important. I'm alive to and for love. So when I find that trajectory, it's like dialing up on your phone or your GPS a destination, an address, and you know it may take time. You know it's going to be a while to get there, but you dial it up anyway. You set the trajectory. You set the GPS to pull you forward toward a destiny. And you may make a wrong turn along the way, and then your GPS may say, recalculating. So remember that. I don't want to beat that to death, but you know what I mean. When your trajectory is love, you might make a wrong turn. You might fall and stumble on any given day. But I like to tell people, if I fall, that's fine. Go ahead now. See that I've fallen. But remember, watch me get up. I will not stay fallen. I will stand up, brush myself off, and find a new trajectory. You know, it's trajectories are these things that we do when we, when you were in Little League or you were in a tennis or you were learning golf. Trajectory is setting the line in your mind and in your body, and then arranging your body and your purposes toward hitting a ball in a certain way toward a certain trajectory, a certain target. Now, if you've done any of those things, whether it's basketball, baseball, football, golf, any activity requiring the trajectory of hitting or throwing a ball, you're rarely, if ever, going to hit that thing perfectly. Bowling's another one. You can roll that ball 1,000 times, and you'll wish every one of those 1,000 times that it was just a little more perfect. So the trajectory is that. I like to think of love as the ball. Love is the ball in life. You know, it's imagine a baseball game without a ball. Imagine millionaire athletes running the field and there's no ball. They're just throwing this air ball, this something that isn't existent, something at the next player, or they're swinging at the air. There's no real ball to hit. We would never put up with that as a crowd, as fans. We would look at that and say, wow, that is really messed up. And yet, so many of us give up on the trajectory of love without picking up the ball again. Pick up that ball. Don't pretend. Don't act like. Don't fake it till you make it. Oh, I don't like that phrase. It's used by some folks, and oh, you'll have to bear with me. Don't use it around me. And to be honest, I've used it myself, and then I've found myself having to face the consequences of fake it till you make it. So listen, don't fake it till you make it. Live in a trajectory and aim that is as good as you know how. To say, this is what love is, and it's what I shall do. I ran across a statement, a quote from William Penn, of all people. And I really love what he said about love. Here it is. Here's the quote. Love is the hardest lesson in Christianity. But for that reason, it should be most our care to learn it. Isn't it? Amazing. Love is the hardest lesson in Christianity, but for that reason, it should be most our care to learn it. Jesus said, by this, all will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. So here in week in and week out, I say, God is love and love is God. He who dwells in love dwells in God. He who dwells in God dwells in love. It is the critical mass. It's the baseball in the baseball game. Love is the hardest lesson, but for that reason, it should be most our care to learn it. Unpack it, define it, refine it. Go through your triumphs, meditate on them. Remember your tragedies, grieve them well. Talk to somebody about your tragedies and then return to a trajectory. It should be most our care to go forward in a trajectory of love, to make sure that in my aim is love. I'm going to position my first thoughts in the morning, my last thoughts at night. I'm going to position my worst moments to go back to and be a lover. Listen, and please hear me when I say again, I'm no perfectionist here. I'm not the professor of love. You're going to run into me in a moment that I'm not as at my best, and I may not be as loving as I would have otherwise wanted to be. I can say and do things that are dumb just like any other human being, and I will always regret them and come back to love. That's my point about trajectory. There's going to be triumphs. There will be tragedies. Some of the tragedies that we experience are of our own making. We are tragic in our behaviors at times. But no matter what the tragedy may be, make it your trajectory to return to the aim of love, to return to the race, to return to the hiking path. Keep climbing. If you've fallen, get up. And when you get up, check your injuries. See to it that that you're going to be able to get forward in the best way possible. Know that there is no failure unless we quit. So quitting is the only way that we get into that terrible, terrible failure of love. And I urge you, don't never quit. Sure, in weakness, you can pause. Sure, strategically retreat, but never quit. One way, and we conclude our No BS Bishop episodes this way every week. One way to keep alive to love is to breathe well, calm ourselves. And on the count of three, I want you to calm yourself and breathe as deep as you know how, into the basement, into the foundation, up against your diaphragm in your lungs. All right? One, two, three. Inhale. And hold it. And exhale. That simple physical exercise is a way to stay alive to love. And the second exercise is to look somebody straight in the eye. Give them your full attention. Make eye contact. Oh, yes, it'll feel weird sometimes, but you'll get past it if you practice it. and say the most charmed and magical, musical, poetic words in the human language. I love you. I love saying it. And I imagine out there somebody is looking at somebody else and saying, I love you. Well, it's been another pleasure on my part here to be with you for the triumphs, the tragedies, and the trajectory of love. I urge you to stay on the path. Keep walking. Keep getting up. Dusting yourself off. And stay on the marathon run toward love, so that love will be your life, and that you will say that I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. Thanks for being here again today. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.